You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with my buddy Vince Semperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how are you doing?
Jeff, I am doing All right. Well, we're alive and we're kicking, so I can't complain.
Well, good. There's potential that this might sound a little bit different to our listeners just because we're recording on Wednesday afternoon, and normally we record late at night. And so due to recording during the day, we both have things going on to keep us from overheating. So you have a fan blowing somewhere and I have a window open. So if you catch a little sound of a fan or a car driving by, just know that's the sacrifices you make to, I don't know why, so we can record during the day so I don't have to stay up so late tonight. So, but we did have some big news that broke on Wednesday, and so we wanted to talk about this as soon as possible. The MLB handed down the punishment for the Red Sox for their cheating in 2018. There may be air quotes around punishment. I guess we'll see how we feel about that. But we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to take a reader suggestion for a topic, and we are going to talk about which Dodgers are which planets in our solar system. So that's the plan for today. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Vince. So MLB handed down the punishment for the Red Sox. We never really knew when this was going to come, but we knew it was coming. We knew going in that the Red Sox infraction was more minor than what the Astros did, and so that most likely their punishment would be more minor. The one question mark in my mind anyway was, since it was a second offense for the Red Sox, they had already been caught cheating once before, would MLB throw the book at them? And the short answer to that is no, they will not. This was basically as close to a non-punishment as you can get, right?
Yeah. But also, the specifics of what exactly went on weren't really given. We know that the replay room operator was the guy that took the brunt of the blame. He's the one that got suspended or banned for this year, and he cannot work as a replay room operator in 2021. But there still wasn't very much specifics as to any player names, any exact things of when he did it just kind of was very all over the place in the report, which maybe, you know, that's how the investigation was. It said some players thought he was doing stuff and some players didn't know that he was doing stuff, so who knows. But I think the main part for me is, if we're taking kind of the Astros report as gospel, so to say, then we kind of have to take this one as that. And there was a sign of cheating, but it doesn't really seem like it was anything extravagant.
Yeah, here's my understanding, and obviously I wasn't there, but based on what I know about the rules, how things work, and what this report says, here's my understanding. Going into every series with a new team, this replay guy, one of his duties was to do research on video, which is totally legal, to look at, okay, when they have guy on second, here are some of the different ways that they switch up their signs. You know, we know that every team, when a guy gets on second, they go to a sequence of signs and they can change it up regularly. They can do, you know, there's a lot of different things they can do. This guy, one of his jobs was to identify, okay, we're playing the Blue Jays this week. Here are the three ways that I've seen that the most common ways they switch up their signs. They go over that with the players, and that gives the players a better chance when they are on second base to see if they can pick up some signs. All that is totally legal. Where he crossed the line is that he was watching this in real time during games and saying, oh, of those three options I told the players before the series, today the Blue Jays are using option two and then going to the players and saying, hey, in this game that you're playing right now, this is the sequence they're using with a guy on second base, and using that to then get an advantage. This is one of those things where, for me, it's definitely less egregious than the Astros, because I find it, I don't know if plausible is right the word, but at least possible that, yeah, maybe the players didn't recognize. All they know is the guy who tells me about signs is telling me about signs. And maybe some of them never really did stop to think, oh, is he supposed to be doing this during the game? I don't know. I think players in general probably don't worry too much about rules like that. Not that they don't care about them, just that they don't generally need to know them. And so I think it's possible that they were being honest when they said, oh, wait, that was against the rules? I didn't know that. And so, I don't know. I'll let you respond to that part, and then I'll get into my bigger point. Vince, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it the part that people get upset with is, you know, the Astros were using, both teams were using technology to their advantage, but the way that it was distributed was different. I think the Red Sox using the Apple Watch in 2017 is more egregious, because they were using it in real time and they were using the technology directly for that. This, not that it was not against the rules, but it was still kind of a loophole. The whole replay room operation and everything, and the live feed that they get compared to the 5-second delay of the other feeds, it was kind of the loophole that people were looking for in order to take advantage of it, which is exactly what happened. The other part of it, at least specifically for us as Dodger fans, is that they didn't find anything that said that it was used in the postseason. Obviously, if they used in the regular season and won more games than they could have potentially been a lower seed or missed the playoffs. But at the end of the day, you know, for us Dodger fans, it was never going to really bring comfort anyways. But at the very least, if we can assume that it wasn't used in the postseason, then it doesn't feel as bad as 2017.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, that does require a lot of taking the report at its word. For me, the reason that this is a lot less egregious than the Astros is because this was basically giving them an illegal advantage to do their legal sign stealing in a, you know, I don't want to minimize it either, because it was cheating. But what a lot of people say, well, the Astros, you know, they, of course, they were going to take every advantage they could get. Teams should have been switching up their signs. And that defense actually makes more sense in this Red Sox situation, because, yeah, you know, if you do signs, if you do switch up your runner on second signs every inning or whatever, then it protects against that. It's still not the right thing. The reason that that argument makes zero sense with the Astros is what the Astros were doing was something that nobody knew they needed to protect against. It's like saying, oh, somebody broke into my house last night. Oh, did you have your doors locked and your alarm set? Yes, I did. Oh, but they broke in by taking a bulldozer and ripping my roof off. You know, oh, you should have had a steel roof. You know, it's that sort of thing. The thing that you never know you need to protect against. You do what you change up your signs and everything. You don't know that you need to be protecting against a center field camera zoomed in on the catcher and somebody banging on a trash can. And so this Red Sox thing, yeah, it is something that could have been protected against, because they could have been good at stealing signs legally, doing the exact same thing. It was just an illegal boost to those efforts. But my bigger point, I guess, that I want to make is all of this depends on us taking the report at face value. And Rob Manfred has not earned that benefit of the doubt. And that's my biggest issue with all of this. There's a reason that a lot of people think that this report is a cover-up. A lot of people think that he's going light on the Red Sox for some other reason. You know, it's possible that this report is entirely accurate and everything, but Manfred, the big problem is having an attorney in charge instead of somebody who loves baseball. And I'm sure we have attorneys who listen to this, and let me make it clear, I'm sure you're a great person. And so I'm going to say some things about attorneys in general and law school, and I hope you still like me. Law school is designed to teach people how to lie while technically not lying. And I mean, a lawyer's job is to mislead people in ways that can't be proven to be dishonest. And every experience I've had, and I know it's anecdotal, but every time an attorney has been in charge of a company that I've been involved with, that person sucked at his job because he does not know how to be honest. And Rob Manfred, I'm not saying he's a bad person or even a fundamentally dishonest person, but he's an attorney. And what attorneys do is think like attorneys. And so this report is a very legal report. And what Manfred never seems to have considered is, how did this affect the game of baseball that I'm in charge of and that I theoretically love? Because the fact is, look, I don't know if Alex Cora knew about the Red Sox thing or not. Like I said, Manfred hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt, but he says that Cora didn't know about this thing. But guess what? When he is the bench coach on a cheating team and then the next year the manager of a cheating team, ban the effort for life. You know, if you care about baseball, Alex Cora should never work in baseball again. And because that's the right thing to do, especially when a year before you said the Red Sox cheated, and if it happens again, we're going to come down hard on management. Here is your opportunity, Manfred. It doesn't matter if Cora knew about it. You have warned the teams that if they cheat again, we're going to come down on management. And then you don't come down on management, even though the manager is a guy who you know cheated the year before. Ban Cora for life. This was a perfect opportunity. No one could have argued with it. You could have said, you know what, between what he did with the Astros and the fact that he was managing another team that cheated, I'm sorry, Alex Cora, you no longer work in baseball. That would have been the easiest thing in the world. And that's what somebody who loves baseball would have done.
True. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Cora does seem to, it's very weird if he didn't know what was going on. It's hard to not believe. But it, you know, it's also, like I said, it could be 100% right. Could be 100% wrong. We don't know. The only part for me that like people talked about the cover up is, if they don't lose any postseason game, like if there's no postseason ban, going light, I don't know what benefit going light on the Red Sox would be, or to that extent, like a team like the Yankees or Dodgers or someone else. I guess maybe they think that these draft picks might make them not as good in the future, but realistically, that's not really going to be the case because it wasn't enough of a detriment. So yeah, it's kind of weird for like conspiracy theory in that sense, but in other senses, I guess I could see it.
Yeah, honestly, the two groups of people who mostly think this is a conspiracy are Dodger fans who are upset at being maybe robbed of the World Series 2 years in a row. Totally understandable. And Astros fans who have it in their minds that the Astros were really harshly punished and that the Red Sox weren't. And, you know, on this very podcast network, there's an Astros podcast, and one of the co-hosts, his brain doesn't work the same way as mine. I'll put it that way. He seems to think that everybody is out to get the Astros, and kind of, you know, even though he pays lip service to, oh, I don't condone what they did, he kind of overlooks the fact that the Astros cheated in a very, very egregious way repeatedly for a long time and won the World Series because of it. And they deserve every bad thing that they get in life. I think that'll do it for Red Sox talk, right?
Yeah.
All right. In a minute, we are going to talk about which Dodgers are which planets. So keep it locked on Dodgers. All right. Continuing our series of talking about highlights from the 2019 season, I want to talk about one of my favorite games of the year. It came on Friday, June 21st against the Rockies. It was the first of the three straight walk-offs for the Dodgers in that series. And it was one of my favorite games for two main reasons. Walker Buehler had maybe his best start of the year. I don't know. He had some really good starts, but he pitched a complete game, struck out 16 Rockies. He gave up two runs. I don't remember. I know Arenado hit a solo homer. Was the other one a homer or was it? I can't even remember right now. But anyway, Buehler struck out 16, dominant start, goes to the bottom of the ninth, tied 2-2, and Matt Beattie with, I think, Max Muncy on first base. Matt Beattie hits a two-run homer, walk-off homer off of, what's his name, Diaz, Jairo Diaz, Jairo Diaz. I don't know how it's pronounced. Probably Jairo. Beatty hits the walk-off homer. And so Buehler was so much fun to watch that game, and watching the emotion on his face as he walked off the mound after the ninth inning, like, you can see on his face that, not that he was overwhelmed with emotion, but you could tell that he knew, I was just freaking awesome. And like feeling that, that energy walking off. And then bottom of the ninth, you know, Beatty comes up, and obviously you and I already had a soft spot for Matt Beatty at that point, because we had him on our old podcast as a guest, 6 months or so earlier, right after he was added to the 40-man roster. And so we knew Beatty when he was a minor leaguer. And so it was so much fun to watch him have success. So for those two reasons, Buehler, who's, you know, one of my favorites, today, as we're recording this, actually, as it comes out on the 23rd, it's the 2-year anniversary of Buehler's first career start. I saw that on my time hop today, because the Dodgers 2 years ago today, the 22nd, announced that Buehler would be starting the next day. And I said, oh, I guess I need to talk to my wife about maybe me driving down to California. And I did. I was there for Buehler's first start. And so I've got this connection with Buehler. I was at his first start. He took a picture with my kids when he was in the minor leagues. So I'm a big Buehler fan, and obviously connection to Beatty. That game was one of my favorites of the year.
Any of those games against, there were a lot of fun games against the Rockies last year, but that one specifically.
Yeah, that whole series, that started the three rookie walk-offs. So it was awesome. All right. So we are going to talk about planets. And this comes from our friend Andre Barrera at Andre Barrera on Twitter. He said, if the Dodgers were planets, who would they be? And so you and I, Vince, we each came up with some answers to this. We were talking before we started recording. We took different approaches to this, so we should get some different answers. Let me just ask you first. I included the sun. Did you include the sun, Vince?
I did not include the sun, but I can.
You don't have to. That, yeah. So I'm going to start with the sun, and you can either come up with an answer or you can pass. So for the sun, I'll tell you my approach. I looked on Wikipedia, and I just looked at the descriptions of the planets, like the actual physical descriptions, all that, of the planets and the sun. And the first line in Wikipedia for the sun is, the sun is the solar system's star and by far its most massive component. I thought about focusing on most massive and going with, you know, actually physically the biggest. But I went with a guy who's physically very large and probably its star right now, and that is the reigning MVP, Cody Bellinger. So for me, Cody Bellinger is the sun.
Interesting. Yeah, I did not do the sun, so I will skip the sun. I will say my thought process and go on to the next planet. Some of you may laugh if you do follow me on Twitter, because my thought process, I went with these planet personalities based on like zodiac signs and well, it was based on what the,
and the reason you'll laugh is because your Twitter followers know you're really into astrology.
Yes, exactly. And it was, well, partially the name, like what the name means, and then also there's some like little tidbits about it. But I will start with Mercury. Mercury is the messenger of the gods, and it governs communication. So I try to think of, you know, guys that are good at communication. And of all the Dodgers on the roster, and this is no bias, it's got to be Ross Stripling in that sense, because like he does have his own podcast. He does give some of the best interviews. He is always down to talk, and he's, you know, very good at communicating his thoughts and feelings. So I feel like Ross Stripling is the Mercury of the Dodgers.
I love it. I'm glad you went with that. Ross didn't make my list, and I was sad about that. So I'm glad we took this different approach, because I love that Ross is on your list. For me, Wikipedia tells me that Mercury is the smallest planet and the closest to the sun. And so I thought the sun is Cody, closest to Cody, physically out on the field. When Cody's playing center field, the right fielder's pretty close. The smallest planet, our right fielder is pretty small. And closest to Cody, talent-wise, also our right fielder. So for me, Mercury is Marcus Lynn, a.k.a. Mookie Betts.
Yeah, that's I like, this is pretty cool how we're doing different ways. So
yeah.
I like that. All right.
Should I do Venus first?
Yeah, you can go.
All right. So for Venus, Wikipedia tells me Venus is close to the Earth in both size and location, but its atmosphere is 90 times more dense. I guess I'm going to have a spoiler alert because since this is talking about in relation to the Earth, I'm going to tell you Clayton Kershaw is the Earth for me, because the Earth is the most important planet and Clayton Kershaw is the most important Dodger. So with Venus being close to the Earth, who's close with Kershaw, but 90 times more dense? It's got to be Jock Peterson. You know, Kershaw and his family, they love Uncle Jock, but Jock is kind of dense, right? And so for me, close to the Earth and dense, it's got to be Jock.
I like that. I like that. All right. For me, Venus is known as the planet of love and represents harmony. There's really only one answer here.
Kike, right?
I actually went outside. I went to Dave Roberts because...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I went to the coach. Kike would have been another part of that. But, you know, Dave Roberts, as we've talked about, and maybe we'll talk about another time as we got a question about it today, but he handles the clubhouse very well. And while he doesn't maybe excel in some other areas, he is excelling at handling the clubhouse and distributing that love. And you can tell those players love to play for him. So that's why Dave Roberts was the Venus.
I like that.
All right. I will go on to Mars. Mars is known.
You're not going
to
tell me your Earth?
Oh, actually, yeah. Let me get into my Earth. My Earth is, you know, what's funny is that they didn't even have Earth in any of these little articles that I was reading, which I don't know why.
So you forgot the Earth existed?
No, I did. I'm just saying that I don't have a specific, like, little tidbit about it. They didn't really talk about it. But yeah, Earth is, you know, the living planet. And not to, this might be the only one we sync up on, but Clayton Kershaw has to be the Earth. He represents pretty much everything you want in a person so far. He's, you know, excels at his job and works hard at it. He's married and seemingly in a very strong marriage, has the kids, and he's, you know, kind of changed his ways as he's become a dad. So he's kind of, you know, a living person, living Earth. And that's kind of what he's been able, and he's trying to adjust the way he pitches. So he's always, you know, living and changing and adapting. So that's why he's Earth for me.
Excellent. He's my Earth too.
Yeah. So the next one is Mars. So Mars is known as God of War, known to be assertive, disciplined, takes initiative, and willing to take forceful action when necessary. There's a few guys that could have went through this and I maybe took a different route about it. But I went with Max Muncy. The assertive and disciplined is, you know, disciplined at the plate. Max Muncy is one of the better guys, the guys that doesn't chase as much. And I think last year we saw with the Bumgarner thing is that he's willing to take forceful action when necessary. He's kind of a sleeping giant, and that kind of awoke him. And obviously it didn't lead into a fist fight or anything, but he showed that he would be able to do that. He's also very passionate out there, one of the more passionate guys when, you know, he gets a big hit or a big home run or something. So that's why Max Muncy was my Mars.
Great pick. I'm glad you picked that too, because like Stripling, Muncy did not make my list, and I was sad about that. So I'm glad he's on yours. For me, Mars, according to Wikipedia, smaller than Earth, but it's the only planet besides Earth that we know there is life on. And it's red. And I thought, okay, similar to Earth, but a little smaller. And red, fiery, fired up. It's got to be Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler is, you know, if one player had to be drawn in the red color, it would be Walker Buehler. He gets so fired up on the mound. And so Walker was an easy choice for me for Mars. All right, so moving on to Jupiter. It's the largest planet, and it has a ton of moons. So I thought, okay, who's huge and has a bunch of, you know, supporting cast rotating around him? Maybe the leader of the bullpen, the huge closer with all his relievers. So Kenley Jansen is Jupiter, and the rest of the bullpen is his moons.
All right, so for me, Jupiter is known as King of the Gods and is considered a social planet. So I went with the kind of what's the word I'm looking for? He's basically the captain of the team without having a C on his chest, and that's Justin Turner. He has, you know, become loved in LA and has kind of become one of the poster boys for the Dodgers these last few years and making these runs. And considered a social planet, Justin Turner seems to get along with everyone. He is very active in the community. He has a fun wife who he's been on her podcast and he's been on other guys' podcasts, and he's always, you know, available to do whatever he needs to do. So Justin Turner is my Jupiter. The next
very
one is Saturn. Saturn is a serious planet and helps you lay out your path for success. Serious planet and lays out your path for success. It could fit a bunch of different guys. But what I think of Sirius on the Dodgers, I think of locked in and locked in seriousness, not necessarily lack of explosiveness. And that's Walker Buehler. He obviously is explosive and he would fit the one that you chose for him, Mars. But I think he's kind of helps you lay out your path for success. I think he's going to lay out the path for the Dodgers to win a World Series in the near future. And, you know, when he's on the mound, he's obviously passionate and fiery, but he's also very serious about what he's doing.
Excellent. I like that choice a lot. For me, with Saturn, I went with the thing everybody knows about Saturn. It's got rings.
Oh.
And did you know?
That's the other part. Walker Buehler is going to lead the Dodgers to a ring.
Going to get them rings. Okay. So I was going with guys who actually have rings. And as far as I can tell, there are only three current Dodgers on the 40-man roster who have won a World Series. And I think it's the three guys who were on the 2018 Red Sox. Joe Kelly is already one of Kenley Jansen's moons. Mookie Betts is already Mercury. And so for me, Saturn is David Price. He's got the rings. He also has an American League championship ring with the Rays. So he's got the rings. So David Price is Saturn for me. Next, Uranus. Uranus is the lightest of the outer planets, but not the smallest, but it's the lightest. It's the big thing, though, is it orbits the sun on its side. Rather than, you know, Earth is a little bit off center as it's orbiting, but pretty close to right. But Uranus actually is on its side as it's orbiting the sun. And so it's just kind of goofy, kind of weird. And so you might think I would pick a left-hander, you know, because left-handers are kind of weird. But the Dodgers have a different guy who is left-handed in every way except for being left-handed. Although if I remember right, I think he signs autographs left-handed, even though he bats and throws right-handed, and that is Kike Hernandez. Kike is goofy, and if there's ever anybody who orbits the sun on its side, it would be Kike Hernandez.
Yeah, I think he does go lefty, by the way. All right, for me, Uranus is a generational planet. It says it reveals more information about the generation you were born into rather than your exact nature. And I took this a certain way about it, and I'm picking Cody Bellinger. It goes on to say it represents a deviation from the norm, eccentricity, individualization, rebellion, self-expression, and liberation. Cody Bellinger's kind of done all of that in just the couple years he's been around. He's a deviation from the norm in that he's a Gold Glove player at multiple positions, and he's eccentric, obviously, individual. He's, you know, out there. Rebellion. He's had a little bit of a rebellious thing, more so in his first year or so, and he's learned from it. Self-expression and liberation. He freed himself a little last year from the 2017 World Series struggles and in 2018, and then he freed himself a little bit from the 2018 struggles. So every year he's getting better and growing, so he's liberating. So that's why Cody Bellinger is my Uranus. And the fact that he would probably laugh if you said that planet name around him adds to it.
Not as hard as Jock would, but yeah.
Yeah. So Neptune is the god of the sea, and it's another generational planet. It's a slow-moving planet and acts as a channel to connect with intuition, mysticism, and psychic abilities. It guides its generation toward their spiritual consciousness. So generational planet makes me think of generational talent. And since Uranus was also a generational planet, Cody Bellinger is a generational talent. Mookie Betts is a generational talent. And, you know, the big talk that we had, basically because we don't have anything else to talk about, was Mookie Betts' speech in spring training. And that I took that as him guiding this Dodgers generation toward their spiritual consciousness and toward, you know, playing for that championship ring. So Mookie Betts is my Neptune.
I like that. For me, Neptune, according to Wikipedia, Neptune is smaller than Uranus, but heavier. And so I was looking, you know, with Kike being my Uranus, I was looking, and there's actually not anybody on the Dodgers who is both shorter and heavier than Kike, but there is one guy who is the same height as Kike and heavier. And so for that reason, Justin Turner is my Neptune because he's shorter than Kike, but heavier. All right, did you do Pluto?
I wasn't sure. I have one ready. I wasn't sure if we were going to do it.
Oh, yeah, we're doing Pluto. All right, for me, Pluto has an on and off status as a planet. It was a planet, then it wasn't, and then they're talking about maybe making it a planet again. It was discovered by Clyde Tombaugh, who is the great uncle of Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw was drafted in the first round by the Dodgers out of a Texas high school in the Dallas area. A couple years later, the Dodgers drafted another high school pitcher out of the Dallas area. His name was Zach Lee. You know where this one's going. Later, the Dodgers traded Zach Lee for a guy who has become an on and off again. You know, is he a star on this team? Is he a platoon player? Is he a bench warmer? Who knows? Will he? Won't he? I don't know. But we know that he was traded for Zach Lee. And that's Chris Taylor, right, Vince?
That is Chris Taylor, and he was traded for Zach Lee. Shout out to the Mariners. Last one for me.
Excellent. Who do you got?
So Pluto, there's a couple of ways to go about it with Pluto. It says God of the Underworld or Wealth. I didn't really choose to go about it that way, but it said it also represents transformation, uncovering dark forces, destruction, compulsion, power, control, life, death, renewal, and rebirth. And I don't want people to take this the wrong way, but I went with Julio Urias because he, in his time with the Dodgers, he has gone through a lot, some of it of his own fault and some of it not. You know, his rookie, even just his rookie year coming up and down was difficult for, you know, for anybody. Him coming up at 19, probably a little more difficult. He had the big surgery where he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to come back to how he was. He did come back to how he was. He had his control and power back. And then, you know, he did what he did and paid for it. And he, you know, he's working right now about being reborn in that sense and reborn on the baseball field. And, you know, this year was going to be his first year kind of getting a crack at the rotation. So that was going to be his rebirth on the field. And obviously he's working on his rebirth off the field as well.
Excellent. Good choice. All right. So the only one we had the same answer on is Earth, is Kershaw. And I think that's undeniably the right answer there. And yeah, I think we had a pretty good cross section of the rest of the team. Good job, Vince. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. That was. Thank you for whoever submitted
Andre,
that.
Good job Andre. On the question.
Yeah, I like that one.
All right, so that'll wrap it up for today. We will be back tomorrow for one last episode this week. We've got probably a draft coming up based on another reader question or listener question. Unless news happens in baseball, then we'll talk about that. But if not, we'll have a cool Dodger-related draft. So be sure to come back. Please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, please go ahead and subscribe there to help other people find us. Please rate and review us on iTunes if you have good things to say about us. If you have bad things to say about us or good things that you want to say to us directly, you can reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. DMs are open on all of those. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can call us and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text anytime you want at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!